Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Mark. If you have your Bibles, please turn to it with me. The book of Mark, chapter 16. 16th chapter of the book of Mark. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Afterwards, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. These returned and reported it to the rest, but they didn't believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He said, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well." After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere. And the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. Amen.
I want to welcome you once again this Easter special service here in Cambridge. I know that some have come from far to be with us, and it's good that some have come all the way from London. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And our dear friends, thank you for coming. We just want you to know that this is a place that, you know, you can just find refuge. Amen.
Amen.
This is a little refuge. You want to get away from it, the busyness, and you just want to chill out. You know, this is the place to be. All roads lead to Cambridge.
Amen.
It's a good time to be in the church.
Amen.
And it's a good time to give your heart to Jesus.
Amen.
I just want you to feel that God is going to call you this day. I want you to just open your heart and let the Spirit of God just talk to you. And because, you know, he can do that. Well, you know, I'm limited, you know. But we know the Spirit of God is with us here in this place right now, moving around. And, you know, I think it's going to be a good plan to have an altar call at the end of this service. And I think, you know, we know that the Spirit of God always works in mysterious ways. I don't think that this is something that anyone should put off. And I'm saying that to you straight as I can. You know, you can't put off giving your heart to Jesus. If you do that, but there are individuals that feel that, you know, we have time down the line, I can't say that you have time. And if I was to say that as a pastor, I would be going against the grain. Because everywhere in the Word of God, there seems to be an urgency.
Yes.
And if the Spirit of God is with you, and if you're hearing the Spirit speak to your heart, then don't delay. Don't put it off. You know, we are not promised tomorrow. We only have this moment. And so, as we have prayed and sung and opened the scripture, then I want you to just put yourself into the TV screen. And I want you to picture this scene. read the scripture reading, but I want to take you back a couple of chapters into the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 28. And I want to just set the scene with these verses from verse 50 through to 53. Matthew chapter 27, verse 50 through to 53. Make sure you're sharing with someone if they can't see the word of God, or look to the screen, or listen to me. This is what the Bible says. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open, and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. Verse 54. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Can you imagine the scene? You've seen it many times portrayed on the TV screen. You've seen it and you've heard it, and maybe you've tried to imagine it. The fact that this was really Jesus who hung on the cross. And when he gave up his last breath, we are told that, you know, because it was maybe around about this time of the day, who knows? And we are told that it went dark. Darkness filled the air. And everyone that was shouting the odds about Jesus, saying that, you know, come down off the cross if you're really the Son, you know, everyone went quiet. Because truly they recognized that maybe this was the Son of God. Today, many, many years down the line, let us not look on this Easter holiday period insignificantly. Let us recognize that, you know, when all things around us change, the dates for Easter stays the same. So if you ever want to, you know, determine when the Sabbath day has been, because people say, oh, the Sabbath has changed. It's changed from this time. We can't keep time. But you mark my words, the powers that be will make sure that the Easter holidays fall upon the weekend.
Yes.
Because we know, and the world knows, there was no controversy over which day was the day of worship. Jesus died on the Friday, but he rose on the Sunday, and he rested in the tomb on the Sabbath day.
Amen.
So if you ever want to, students, if you ever want to try and show some people what the Bible says, this is a good proof text. It proves many things. But still, many will doubt. Well, I don't know how I would have acted if I was in that scene and seen what was taking place and seen the darkness that filled the earth when Jesus gave up his last breath. But back to the scripture. Mark chapter 16 and verse 6. When he shall come to the earth again, he will shake not the earth only, but also the heaven. I'm reading from Desire of Ages. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage. When Jesus comes again, there will be a similar scene of a massive earthquake. You know, when Jesus died and he rested in the tomb on the Sabbath day, and the disciples went to see where Jesus' body lay. When they got there, the Bible says in many different ways that, you know, he wasn't there. Because he was risen.
Amen.
And if you read it in the, you know, in the books of either Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, it gives the same interpretation of this event. And you know, some of the disciples saw different things, maybe. You know, but certainly we can get the idea that Jesus wasn't there. Imagine. You know, imagine this scene. This earthquake and the two, or whoever the centurions were that were guarding this tomb. Imagine their fright at the tomb just breaking open and the earth shaking. And all of a sudden, you know, Jesus is no longer there because he has risen. That's the story of Easter today. Jesus is not in the tomb anymore. Jesus has risen. And, you know, the fact that Jesus has risen, it should really make you feel very excited. You know, because the fact that Jesus rose means that, you know, we have a Savior. You know, because you know the whole story about the Easter, don't you? You know, Jesus became the second Adam. You know about that, don't you? Because why did he have to become a second Adam? Because, you know, our first Adam got it wrong.
Yes.
And Adam and Eve plunging this whole world into sin. Yes. And death as a result. And so death has passed on to every generation. It would seem in this world as if there is no hope. You know, you're born and you live and you die. But Jesus rose again.
Amen.
Which means, you know, he overcame this death thing.
Amen.
He lived on the earth without sin. He became the second Adam. He did what we couldn't do. He brought back for us what we lost.
Oh, yeah. Praise God.
And that's the message today. We have a Savior.
Oh, yes.
We don't have to go into a grave of no hope.
Oh.
We can know that Jesus is alive.
Yeah.
And if we live with Jesus today, we will rise with Jesus when he comes again. And I want you to know that this story is a triumphant story. Yeah. The fact that he is risen.
Amen.
Not in the tomb anymore.
Amen.
You know, we have a record. I'm not sure which text it is, but it's one of the Gospels where, you know, when they heard the news, you know, the two women, you know, and women always seem to be closer somehow to Jesus. I don't know. Men, we need to do some work here. But somehow, you know, the women found their way going to that tomb. You know, the men were maybe depressed somewhere. Or they weren't talking. They were just like quiet. You know what I mean? What we do. But the women found their way going to the tomb to get the body ready. And when they got there, you know, they saw, oh, Jesus is not there. Jesus is risen. And they ran back to tell the disciples. And as soon as they told the disciples, the two disciples ran down. I don't know what text it is. But they ran down. They ran down to the tomb. And we have the first idea of a race in the Bible. Do you know that one? They were running and trying to outrun one another. And who does it say win? I can't remember. John chapter 20. John chapter 20. The Bible tells us, you know, that one disciple outran the other. They were so excited to get to the tomb first to see if this was true. How do you feel about running with the gospel today? You ready to run and outrun someone? You know, do you want to have more souls than Brother Mark enter the kingdom? It's all right. You can run.
Yeah.
You can compete with him. It's all right. It's good. It's healthy. As long as you don't let it get to your head, you know. We don't know where to put a lid in it sometimes, you know. But it's okay. The disciples were running to the tomb to see if Jesus was risen.
Yes.
And truly, he was risen. Are you as that excited today? Are you excited about the fact that Jesus is risen? Can you run with the gospel in an excited way? Or is it just another holiday period?
Awesome.
You know, and we just buy Easter eggs.
Yes.
And do the things that we do. and it's all good. Is that what it's about today, guys? Is it just about the Easter eggs? You know, and I had one last night, amen. I had one last night, and it was one of those ones that it's messy, just messy. Is anyone else? You know, is it just about the Easter eggs, guys? Or is it more than that? Truly, we have a massively powerful story. The story that comes to life in, it should be, in this church, it should come to life in a massive way. The fact that Jesus is no longer in the tomb. He is risen. He is risen. He appeared to Mary Magdalene. He appeared to the two disciples. Maybe he deliberately chose who he was going to appear to. And then he appeared to the 11 disciples. He appeared to them. He came to them and said, you know, it is me. Did they recognize him? You know, maybe on every count they just lost, they just didn't quite connect. You know. But I want us today to connect to Jesus. I don't want us to miss him. You know, Jesus is moving around this place today. Jesus is here. He's not in the tomb anymore. Jesus is risen. And he is making himself available to each one of us today. The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 16 that verse 16, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. You know, do we have any sick people in the house today?
Yes.
Huh? Is there any part of your body not quite well?
Yes.
Are you itching for that power to place your hands upon someone and have them heal? You know, because we have lots of doctors in this place and nurses and medical folk. You know what I mean? This is one healthy church, amen. If anything goes wrong, let it go wrong in this church, brethren. Because they will have folk just deal with you, make you well. You know. But I kind of feel that this is talking about something just a little bit different.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
I kind of feel that this text is talking about something that you don't necessarily have to be trained for. You know, we have medical guys and we have all the stuff. And, you know, I've got my master's degree. Amen.
Amen.
Got all that stuff. But, you know, I kind of feel this is talking about something that anyone can just get hold of.
Yes.
You can just hold on to that, claim it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You want that kind of power?
Yes.
Because that's the power that is being spoken about today. In fact, it says in our day, meaning the days that we live, then you will be able to even do greater things than Jesus.
Yes.
That is the power that Jesus has made available to his church today. That is the power that is much more than just talking about Easter eggs. That is the power that we ought to be craving every single day of our lives. This is the power that will transform churches, transform families, transform communities, transformation.
Oh, yes.
You want that power today? And I kind of feel we can claim it today. I feel this church can claim this gift today. I believe that Jesus has a special role for his church in the last days. His church will be a church full of power. You know, near enough having telepathy between one another. Because the Spirit is in tune with you and you are in tune with the Spirit. So that when the Lord says, it will be done. You know, I crave that power today, and I think that, you know, all the other stuff is frills. You know, we do this and we do that and all the stuff that we do in church, but I believe that this is really what churches should be about.
Yes.
And it's going to be an exciting journey. You know, I think it's going to be an exciting journey. You know, because when these things begin to happen, then sometimes it disrupts the church. Did you believe that? How can the truth and the goodness that will happen when the Spirit does His work disrupt the church? Why would that happen? Why would that happen? You know, because most probably in the church, maybe not in this church, but you got folk that have got regular seats, you know what I mean? And if a visitor comes and sits in that regular seat, it's like, whoo, do you know whose seat you're sitting in? You know, and maybe there'll be some stuff that will change because, you know, we're doing something in the community or someone has responded and just a song is going to be out of place. You know, we can't sing that. Something will happen. Something that will disrupt the church. You know, maybe it won't be just a regular worship style that we're used to, or something will happen to disrupt the church. But I'm excited anyhow, because, you know, this is God's church. And, you know, in fact, Pat, we need to make sure we sit on this side next week, because we kind of come and sit right there. You see how easy we do that stuff? You know, we don't like change. We come and we do the same things in the same way. And when something happens a little bit different, we kind of say, hold on, what's going on? Is the floor moving? Guys, this is God's church. Let's be ready for His action. Before Jesus left the earth, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 9, you know, the same story. But the Apostle Paul picks it up and he says in Acts chapter 1 and verse 9, after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes. And a cloud hid them from their sight. We're talking about Jesus now. You know, he just appeared to all of his disciples. He'd done all that stuff he said he was going to do. And now he's going to heaven to continue his work for mankind. Verse 10. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going up. When suddenly two men dressed in white apparel stood beside them. Verse 11. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking up into the sky? This same Jesus, I'm going to say that again, this same Jesus, who has been taken from you. Sorry, I can't read properly. All right. This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way that you have seen him go into heaven. Amen. Do we, you know, I can't get my head around why people just don't accept this one. You know, makes up all kinds of theologies and beliefs about how Jesus is going to come, and when you go to, you know, when this happens, and when, oh my days. It is so clear here. The same way that physically the disciples saw him going. You know, when you're looking at an airport and you've seen someone off, a close family friend, and you've gone to see if, well, you can't even do that today because they've got barriers everywhere. But, you know, back in the day then, you know what I mean? Back in the day, you know, I used to live near Heathrow. So it was like one bus that took us. And during the holidays like this, we would just go on the bus, number 140, and that bus goes right into Heathrow Airport. And then we'd be able to go up into the car parks and we would look at the planes. We would just watch planes. And I remember one time my grandma, she was going back to Jamaica for good. It was a big deal, you know. And when we waved her off at the terminal, you know, the whole family went up, you know, into this car park. And we stood at the top flight and we looked on that. We tried to recognize that little Air Jamaica plane. Because back in the day, it was a small little jet with about three little, what do you call it? Those little things. Yeah, it wasn't the proper engine. I don't think so anyway. Little plane and we saw it taking off, and as it was taking off we was watching that plane. Why? Because our grandma was on that plane. And we watched that plane until it went out of sight. Oh my days. You know, and the Bible says the disciples were just so entrenched in just seeing Jesus as he went. And as he went higher and higher, they continued to look as he went until these men, you know, angels we believe, said, "Oh guys, don't stress yourself. You know what I mean? Don't worry. You know what I mean? Don't be the same way that you see him go is the same way you will see him come." We are living in the time just before Jesus comes. And that's still part of the Easter story. Because he rose again. But the Bible says he's coming back to take his people home. To put an end to the suffering. To put an end to the pain and the discomfort and all the kind of negative stuff that we have in this world. Jesus is coming again. And today, we have an opportunity to be ready for his coming. The Bible says, Mark chapter 16 and verse 20, "Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere. The Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it." You know, if you knew, you know, that someone was coming back, you know, if it was someone that you loved, been away for many years, and you knew the day and the hour, would you not make your house ready?
Yes.
Would you not clear out the spare room?
Yes.
You know, would you not give yourself enough time, you know, to get down to the airport? Would you not stand and look? You know, I remember when I was in Jamaica and Pat was having one of the kids and they were coming back, I think, for the graduation service. And I remember getting to the airport early. And I remember standing, you know, because it was kind of different there. You could be very close to the airport in Jamaica. So I remember standing, you know, just looking up in the... And it became night. I think the flight was delayed. And I was looking at every plane as you saw the lights coming down. And then it landed. I was thinking, that's not the one. But then when that plane came, you know, everyone that came off the plane, I thought, that's Pat. You know what I mean? That's the kids. Everyone is like, because you were just looking for that particular person. You know how when you're eager,
yes,
for someone to come, you pull out the stops.
Yes.
You go to town. You get everything ready. Jesus is coming again.
Yes.
Did you know that?
Yes.
And if Jesus is coming again, we got to pull out the stops.
Yes.
We got to get the house ready. We got to put aside all the things that kind of hold that process. Because when Jesus is coming, we tell everyone. We tell our neighbor. We tell our friends. We tell our family. Yeah, my folks are coming home, man. You know what I mean? They're coming home. You know, why are you so happy? My people, he's coming back today. Jesus hasn't told us the time specifically. He hasn't given us the hour or the day. But Jesus says, be ready anytime. Be ready anytime. So that when Jesus comes, you're not unready. Who wants to be ready for the coming of Jesus today? You know what I mean? We've got to. Guys, we've invested so much in this. Some of us, our jobs have had to change because of our faith in Jesus. Some of us, we'd have to give up some of the things that we could maybe have an easier way of living because we chose Jesus. Don't give it up now. You've come too far. And I'm inviting you today. If you want to be ready for the coming of Jesus, then stand with me as we pray and rededicate ourselves to Him afresh. Jesus is coming and He will not delay. Jesus is coming and He could even come today. Jesus is coming. And when He comes, it will be forever too late. So now is the appointed time. Now is the hour of our salvation nearer than when we first believed. And so as I open the call today, I'm going to give the opportunity for anyone that maybe you've come here for the first time. I don't want you to feel any pressure, although there is a bit of pressure there, sorry. Because we're talking about eternal weight here, guys. We're talking about your eternal destiny. We're talking about the fact that this thing could be right. And if it is right, then we've got to give time for this. Because if there's someone here planning to get baptized, maybe it's the first time you're thinking about getting baptized, then the floor is open. Don't let the devil keep you in your seats. Come to the front and we will come down to meet you and pray with you.